The triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and we read our first scripture this morning from the book of John, the 12th chapter, the 12th through the 19th verses, using the Good News translation. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the Passover festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the King of Israel." Jesus found a donkey and rode on it, just as the scripture says, "Do not be afraid, city of Zion. Here comes your king riding on a donkey." His disciples did not understand this at the time, but when Jesus had been raised to glory, they remembered the scripture, said that what the scripture said this about him, and that they had done this for him. The people who had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from death had reported what had happened. That was why the crowd met him, because they had heard that he had performed this miracle. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, we are not succeeding at all. Look, the whole world is following him."
Let us listen now to the word of God as we find it in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapters 22 and 23, selected verses. When day came, the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law met together, and Jesus was brought before the council. "Tell us," they said, "are you the Messiah?" He answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I ask you a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of Almighty God." They all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" He answered them, "You say that I am." And they said, "We don't need any witnesses. We ourselves have heard what he said." The whole group rose up and took Jesus before Pilate, where they began to accuse him. "We caught this man misleading our people, telling them not to pay taxes to the emperor, and claiming that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "So you say," answered Jesus. Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no reason to condemn this man." But they insisted even more strongly, "With his teaching, he is starting a riot among the people all through Judea. He began in Galilee and now has come here." When Pilate heard this, he asked, "Is this man a Galilean?" When he learned that Jesus was from the region ruled by Herod, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very pleased when he saw Jesus because he had heard about him and had been wanting to see him for a long time. He was hoping to see Jesus perform some miracle. So Herod asked Jesus many questions, but Jesus made no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law stepped forward and made strong accusations against Jesus. Herod and his soldiers made fun of Jesus and treated him with contempt. Then they put a fine robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. On that very day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people and said to them, "You brought this man to me and said that he was misleading the people. Now I have examined him here in your presence and have not found him guilty of any of the crimes that you accuse him of. Nor did Herod find him guilty, for he sent him back to us. There is nothing this man has done to deserve death. So I will have him whipped and let him go." The whole crowd cried out, "Kill him! Set Barabbas free for us!" Barabbas had been put in prison for a riot that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate wanted to set Jesus free, so he appealed to the crowd again. But they shouted back, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them the third time, "But what crime has he committed? I cannot find anything he has done to deserve death. I will have him whipped and set him free." But they kept on shouting at the top of their voices that Jesus should be crucified, and finally their shouting succeeded. So Pilate passed the sentence on Jesus that they were asking for. Here ends the readings of the Word of God, and may the Lord add his blessing to this reading and hearing of his holy word. As we remember the day of this great celebration of Jesus' ride into Jerusalem, with crowds of people singing his praises and welcoming him as a celebrity, as a savior, maybe even as their new king-to-be, we know that there were those who reacted quite differently. One of the key players in the story is King Herod. We have the great good fortune today to have a special visitor, King Herod himself, to tell you the story in his own words. Let's give King Herod a welcome suitable for a king.
Good morning. I was offered the opportunity by the powers that be to take a temporary vacation from the land of shadows to come and speak with you this morning about those unusual events that took place in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. I jumped at the chance. I don't think people have ever understood how I viewed the situation at the time. I am Herod Antipas, Tetrarch of Galilee and Perea, under the authority of that most excellent emperor of Rome, Tiberius Caesar. You people probably don't even know what a tetrarch is. Just think of me as a king, King Herod, ruler of Galilee and Perea. I don't want you to confuse me with Herod the Great, my father, who thought it necessary to eliminate, that is to slaughter, a generation of Jewish boy babies all at once. I don't want to be mistaken for him. I like to think that I would found a better, more humane way of handling things than to kill babies. Anyway, back to my story. Somehow that Jesus character escaped my father's wrath, and now he is a grown man, going around preaching and gathering big crowds of those unruly Jewish people. Some radical groups are quite open about wanting to overthrow the Roman Empire. Ridiculous, of course. Could a mouse defeat a lion? But they are troublemakers, and my most eminent Lord Caesar doesn't like trouble. Our glorious empire has a mighty army that can conquer any enemy. But we like to rule as a civilized government, letting the people keep some of their local customs and even their local religion as long as they pay their taxes to Rome and give their ultimate allegiance to Caesar. Caesar wouldn't like to hear about trouble here in Jerusalem. At the same time, I was not really scared of Jesus. He seemed like a relatively harmless religious fanatic. He made the common people happy. He seemed pretty good at it. I had even heard stories about him performing miracles, healing people, and even, so they said, raising one man from the dead. Ha! Of course, one thing that got my goat was that his buddy, this man the Jews called John the Baptist, once got to meddling in my affairs. He had the nerve to question me, to question how I conducted my personal affairs. He criticized me for taking my brother Philip's wife, Herodias, into my own house as my wife. What amazing insolence! A Jewish commoner challenging the actions of a duly appointed governor of the Roman Empire. I'll admit, marrying Herodias caused me some trouble when my first wife, the daughter of the Nabatean king, ran off to her father. We had to engage in a messy little border war to settle his bacon, but we got through it. It was a little embarrassing when I had to ask for help from the emperor, but I guess that's what he's there for. I sure didn't want to have to do that again. I arrested John the Baptist and wanted to punish him with a lengthy prison sentence for his insolent criticism of me. I ended up having him beheaded, but I hadn't really intended to do that. You probably remember the story of my new wife's daughter dancing for me when I was celebrating my birthday with my friends. Boy, was she a hot little number, and I wanted to give her a gift to show my appreciation for her dance. I never expected her to ask for John's head on a platter. I regretted it, but as king, hey, I had to follow through with what I had promised, or no one would take me seriously. You understand, don't you? You seem like a kind, understanding people. You know that leaders have to make compromises at times, and sometimes there are consequences that you don't intend and don't want. I believe people today refer to those as collateral damage. Anyway, it was a little bit like that with this man, Jesus. Actually, I was pretty curious about Jesus. I wondered if he was really everything they said about him. My spies had reported nothing about a plan on his part to overthrow the government, so I wasn't worried about that. But I have to confess, being real curious about these reports of miracles. When I got word that Pilate was sending him over to me for a decision, I was actually pretty happy. I wanted to see this phenomenon for myself. Being a king is a little boring at times, but this man might provide some real entertainment. Maybe I would even see a real miracle. So you see, I had no prejudice against this man, no prior judgment. I was prepared to offer him mercy in exchange for some first-rate entertainment for me and my court. What a disappointment he was. I heard what he was accused of and then questioned him myself for an hour. Usually in these cases, I don't bother. But I really wanted to see what he would say and even more importantly, what he would do. Nothing. He said nothing. Not a word. I asked him questions. I ordered him to answer. I'm ashamed to admit it because it's contrary to my dignity as a king, but finally I even begged him to answer, to give me some reason to set him free. Then I was pretty angry. How dare he defy me in this way? So I began to mock him, and my soldiers joined in, calling him names like King of the Jews, trying to provoke him into making some defense of himself. But really, my anger was building and building. At the same time, I have to admit, I was getting a little scared. Not that he was building an army and planning a rebellion. There was just something about him. Something gave me a chill. Having John the Baptist beheaded didn't work out that well, really. Got me in a little bit of trouble with Caesar, and this man Jesus was his buddy. In fact, John was telling people that Jesus was much greater than he was. He was telling people, in fact, that this was a man of God, maybe even a son of God. And his standing there right in front of me and all my royal court and my soldiers with their swords and spears and with the chief priests from his own religion accusing him of treason made me pretty uneasy eventually, I have to say. He seemed to have more dignity, and I hate to admit it, royal presence, than any other king or ruler I'd ever met. What in the world does this mean? Who is this man? But I had a job to do. The religious leaders obviously hated this man, Jesus. They obviously considered him a threat. God only knows why. But I had my duty to keep peace as much as I could. I was really afraid things might explode if I let this man go. However, before I announced my judgment, I took off my robe, my royal robe that I was wearing, and placed it around this man's shoulders. He had been beaten, was dirty and bleeding, half naked, and obviously suffering pain. I thought at least I could put my robe around him and cover him and to keep him warm. When I did, he turned his head and looked me directly in the eyes. But it was done. I had made my decision. I sent him back to Pilate to do with him as he wanted. I think all of you know how that turned out. He ended up being crucified because that's what the people wanted, at least the loudest and most powerful people wanted. Pilate and I got along pretty well after that. I think a lot of it, to tell the truth, was that neither of us really wanted the man, thought the man deserved to be executed. Both of us felt it was really important to keep peace and to keep in the good graces of the local movers and shakers and of our Lord Tiberius Caesar. We did what we had to do. Since then, I've had a lot of time to think about those events of 2,000 years ago. I don't know. I keep being haunted by the eyes of that man. When he looked at me, I've never seen eyes like that in my life. It was like he saw right through me, saw things about me that I had never shown to anyone. And yet somehow, even though I sent him back to Pilate for what both of us knew would likely end in his death, I saw also in his eyes a kind of loving understanding and a sadness, as if he was sad for me. How could that be?
Thank you, King Herod. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. We may confess belief in God, but sometimes we act as if might makes right, and that wealth determines the value of a person. Jesus came to be a new kind of king. Which king will you serve?